Yle Podcast.
Hello and welcome again to All Points North, the Yle News podcast about Finland that'll hopefully put some enterprise into your weekend musings. Today's guests are Adam Agbeke-Taylor, the lady behind the Inkuto beauty brand, and Kaisu Kesala-Kaseja, a fresh immigrant entrepreneurship coordinator. And we'll be looking at the minefield facing entrepreneurs in Finland.
This is the All Points North podcast, telling you everything you need to know about Finland this week.
Hello and welcome everyone. It's Friday and that means it's time for All Points North to dig deeper into life in Finland. This time around, we'll be talking with about entrepreneurship, and joining me for the discussion is my colleague Mark Odom. Good to see you, Mark.
Great to be here as always, Denise.
Also in studio with us today is Adam Agbeke-Taylor, a lady who has single-handedly built up the Inkuto brand of cosmetics here in Finland. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
And we have another guest in studio, Kaisu Kesala-Kaseja. She's just started working to help immigrants interested in getting into business. Good to have you, Kaisu.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, let's cut straight to the chase, and I'll start with you, Adam. So your company has been around for something like 8-9 years now. You've also been able to get your beauty products placed on shelves of major chains such as K-City Market and the health food store Ruohonjuuri. I mean, these all sound like major accomplishments for what's essentially, I think, a one-woman operation. What would you say are the biggest challenges you face getting to this point?
There are a lot of challenges as an entrepreneur, but being an immigrant in Finland, it's bigger. Mm. Getting the information about these retailers, the buyers, are a bit challenging. And getting information, access to information, is also a big challenge. But aside that, understanding the Finnish business culture, I must say it's a tough thing, eyes to break through.
Mm. What exactly do you mean by that, trying to understand? Is it about trying to get to know people and you feel like an outsider? What exactly is the challenge in terms of the business culture?
It's a combination. I come from a different culture. Mm. And of course, Finland, you know that, oh, everything is, you know, perfectly
Functional.
Yeah. And so you expect that when you go to an office, you get everything that you need. But no, it's not like that. And sometimes you might be negotiating with somebody, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, they just drop the line, like no communication, everything ceases. And from my perspective, it's like, oh, what is wrong? And getting access to, like, these people, the information, you know, sometimes, for instance, you can be, the door can be there, you know, but how to get into that door?
Get your foot into the door.
Yes, and how to speak the right language. Mm. There are places that I have been tipped by Finns, say, oh, you can get this funding, this financing. But then when I speak to them, they are like, no. But maybe if a mentor or a Finnish person speaks on my behalf, that door opens.
So things mm-hmm. are different.
Yes, so yes. Things are, the business culture is something that as an immigrant, it's not easy.
But it's also part of networking. Is also part of the that's part of the job too. I mean, connecting with people. And but it's there's an added step there, I guess.
Yeah.
When in your situation, the conventional wisdom about entrepreneurship is that there's quite a high probability that it might not work out. Business will go bust and close down in the first couple of years. Quite often, we know there are a few bureaucratic hurdles also. Getting started in Finland. How did you cut through that red tape?
To be honest with you, I am a rebel business person. I call myself, because I just started the business. I didn't get any support or funding or financial. I just get along. I made everything myself. Mm. And of course, I couldn't be where I am without the support from the Finns. Mm. That is my, I call them family or tribe, the people who buy the products, mm-hmm. you know. I have a product with a niche that works, and that product sells itself. Aside that, I also put myself out. I am the kind of person that I don't believe in charity. So I just, if you don't believe in charity, you don't wait around for somebody to grease your hand before you start moving.
So it sounds like you have to be bold and brave.
Yes.
That's your message.
Yes, yes.
Now, let's bring Kaisu into the discussion a little bit. And before we give you a chance to talk about your role in particular, tell us what you make of Edem's experiences and what she's had to say so far. Do you agree with much of what she's said in terms of sort of breaking in, breaking the ice, as she put it, and then also being bold enough to put yourself out there?
Yeah, it's exactly what I have heard from so many entrepreneurs, especially with immigration background. And being entrepreneur is always, you need to be bold in order to success, doesn't matter where you are from. And exactly those things about getting the right information or learning to know the Finnish business culture or finding the right people, that's always the challenge. So those are really common problems, and there is a lot to do in those things, how we can help all those people who want to be entrepreneurs.
Hmm. Well, more specifically, what are the main problems people turn to you for help with?
At the moment, the biggest problem what I face all the time is are the residence permits. Mm-hmm. So many people are asking me how to come to Finland to start business. So there are different groups of immigrant entrepreneurs. Yeah, those who are already here and then start their business. But there are also those people who are trying to come here in order to start business. And that's really challenging at the moment.
Hasn't the government set up a new program whereby it's trying to make it easier for entrepreneurs to come to Finland? I think it's called an entrepreneurship visa.
It's it's the startup visa.
And startup visa.
Yeah,
yes.
And the problem here is that it's for the startups. Mm. It's for the IT people. It's for the new, really cool unicorns, or how they ever call them. But it's only helping very, very small group of entrepreneurs. It's not helping the
regular small micro enterprises.
No, it makes it even a little bit like two-class society. Mm. It's those ones who get faster a specific visa, and then those ones who need to wait very, very long. Mm. And actually, the normal businesses could be more productive for Finnish society, because those startups, they many times fail. So it's not really a stable business.
Now, one interesting fact that we came across when we were preparing for this program is that according to the Finnish enterprise agencies, and bear with me as I say this in Finnish, the Uus Yritys Keskukset, in Vantaa alone, for example, last year, immigrants were behind 30% of the new businesses set up there. And just to follow on from what you were saying about these startup visas sort of targeting the cream of the crop, the elite, the next big things, as opposed to regular businesses that are likely to grow and really feed the economy, why isn't more attention being placed on that kind of sector?
I think somehow it's so much in now to talk about startups. And I hope that we, as the Federation of Finnish Enterprises, I say it always wrong, we as the Federation of Finnish Enterprises can also bring it more to the discussion that please notice here are all kind of entrepreneurs, and here is a lot of need for support. And they are really, even 40% of the new customers in those Uus Yritys Keskus in Vantaa are with immigrant background. Mm-hmm. So they are people who want to start a business. They might not start it, but usually when you are thinking about starting your own business, you go to this kind of center and ask there for help.
Yes. Mm.
Big companies or startups, as you distinguish the difference between startups and regular companies.
Yeah.
And Finland is really on board with the startup scene, given Slush and all that. But what does Finland do? Does Finland do enough to support micro and small businesses?
It depends who you ask, I guess. But I have had businesses by myself. I have two companies at the moment. And I came back to Finland 2.5 years ago to start my own business. I had first my business in Austria, And I found it very easy if I compare to Austria. But it's always with what you compare. But I think we need a lot more support and a lot more like easy ways to help people who want to start their own business, not some specific entrepreneurship courses or something, but really like, yeah, come here to ask, or here you find people, here you find your networks, and here you can start to build your own business.
Well, it would be inappropriate to continue the discussion without a word from the public sector, which provides entrepreneurship services via a national network of employment offices, also known as the TE Toimistot. Are we familiar with that agency? There's also a regional Uus Yrityskeskukset, the Finnish enterprise agencies that can people can turn to help getting into business.
That's right, Mark. And I have to say that for me personally, it all sounds like a minefield. You surprised me trying to have a drink of water there. So I turned to Marku Visti of the Uusimaa Employment Offices Network to walk me through the process. And let's see what he had to say.
When you have some kind of business idea in your mind, those enterprise agencies, they give some kind of, when you want to start your business, they help you to do that business plan and calculations, and you need that those kind of attachments when you apply that startup grant. First of all, you can't register your company yet because this is startup grant, and you can't start that before you get you have these applications in process. You have to book a time, some kind of advisory meeting in this kind of enterprise agency. Maybe you have one meeting or two, and after that you have those calculations and final business plans. You can do that application, that startup application from the services website. Then we do the decisions, and you get that after 2 weeks. If we do that positive decisions, you get about 700 per month, and it is personal taxable income. This new business, it has to be full time. So after that, we evaluate that do you need another 6 months. So 1 year is the maximum about this startup grant.
Let's say in the event of someone who has immigrated to Finland, may not yet know Finnish or Swedish, but wants to set up a business, can they get services in English or even in any other language?
Of course, we have English services and also, we have civil servants who speaks also in, for example, Russia. For example, these enterprise agencies, they serve, of course, in English. And, for example, they have some kind of info events also in English.
And that was Marku Visti from the Uusimaa Employment Office Network with a 2-minute guide, I guess, on how to get started in business. I should probably add that it's possible to get more detailed information online. Now, Adam, do you think that information like this would have made your life a bit easier when you first started out 10 years ago?
Yes and no.
Explain.
Yes, because, well, because I don't have any background, business background, I am automobile engineer.
Wow.
So this is my first business professional business deals I'm doing. It would have maybe prepared me somehow, but no, because it's waste your time. It takes all the time because all the things that he just spoke about, you know, before you do this and you do that, you collapse before or there are times that most of the time you'll be thinking about a business and somebody else is also thinking about the same business. So by the time you stop thinking or you finish thinking, somebody has already thought. So for me, it wouldn't have helped me in many ways. Instead of just jumping in.
Yeah, you sort of lose the advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that time that there was the niche, I just, well, I got some help from the Thule.
Customs.
Yes, laboratory.
Mm.
They were the people, and this was just by chance because we spoke to somebody and they connected us there. So they gave me all the things that I needed to know.
Mm.
I went online, but I didn't get the information. But then they gave me everything. That really gave me a springboard to.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's all about networks. But just very quickly, what do you know now that you wish you knew 10 years ago? Apart from everything. What specifics do you think
about
you've learned
financing
now?
If I knew that there was this kind of support, financing, mentorship and things like that, it would have been very good. But then I know it now. And also when you talk about taxation, okay, when I started, I didn't know anything about taxation. I just went in and I was paying my taxes. Recently, I got to know that you have to earn more than 10,000 in order to pay your taxes. But then I was paying taxes from day one, even though I wasn't earning that much.
Right.
And these are the things that the tax system knows.
Mm.
They could have given me refund, but I didn't get anything like that.
Mm.
And if the system can support small businesses and say, okay, this is what you're doing, you might not get it right, but this is how you should do it. I also learned that if you have a bookkeeper, yeah, you are responsible. Even though the bookkeeper is doing everything, it would be nice if they can change that, you know, system.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're a bookkeeper and you report on behalf of a company, you are responsible. It's your name there. Of course, the company have to look into things, but they don't.
Mm.
Because something happened to me in 2011, and I was giving all my taxes and everything, not knowing my bookkeeper wasn't reporting.
Oh, my.
So I get like letters from the tax office, and I call them. They explain to me what the problem is. And when I go to my bookkeeper, he says, oh, they are wrong. That is not true. You know, I'll deal with it. And he never dealt with it.
Did you have to pay?
Yes, I got a sacco.
Oh, dear.
A fine.
Oh, my God.
Big fine. And because I do also this African massage and run the business, I have to really work super extra hard to pay off, because I needed my name to be cleared, because it went to that, what is it called?
Ulosoto, it goes to
Asia,
the court.
No, Asia Castiedo, so...
Yes, your credit report, yes.
Oh, dear.
So,
yeah, because your personal bankruptcy, and you're all personally tied into this company when you start a company, correct?
Yes, but it depends on the individual. I didn't want to go down, because I'm here to give the world the best of me. There are people who are depending on me, that is these widows that we are empowering in Africa, and there are people who are depending on me here for their skin to be healed. So I can never give up. Even though I've gone through all these things, I'm still standing.
Yes. We'll come back to some of those issues around taxation and personal liability involved in setting up a business. But
I wanted to, you mentioned you would have liked to know about financing and getting assistance or support from financial institutions, for example. Has money ever been a problem for your expanding your business, making changes, moving along the lines? And
when you are growing a business, you grow with all the liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good to do that. Because, for instance, if you were using 10,000, example, now that I supply to Roho Yuri is expanding, which is beautiful, Kesco, they are huge.
Yes.
One of the biggest.
Yeah. Yes. And when you get into such companies, of course, because you have to deliver promptly, you have to make sure that you have all your things ready.
Your own supply chain has to be ready for it.
So you can't give excuse that, oh, I didn't have money to do this. But then here's the case, as you grow, your finances expand and you have a lot of, what is it called?
Expenses.
Stock.
Okay.
Tied up.
Right.
So you need this financial support to expand. And
have you ever run into any situations where you needed financing and couldn't get it, for example?
Many times, or a couple of times. The first time was in 2014. I had this company from China that they wanted to buy the African black soap to China. And it was a good deal. So I went to my bankers and they said, oh, yes, you've been saving with us for some time now. But do you have any house or any
collateral,
real estate for collateral? I said, no. And I didn't get the support and I lost that deal.
But you ostensibly had a buyer in China.
Yes.
And you had proof that, you know, these guys want to buy this. Yes.
And so you would have been able to service that loan or pay it off immediately even.
But what was the reason for them to deny?
But they told me I didn't have any collateral or guarantor. And
what was your next step then? What was the result?
What can I do?
You just lost the order?
Yes, I lost the deal, actually. Mm. And then when I even got into Kesco, I went to my bankers, and the same bankers anyway. I'm quite loyal to.
And then, more loyal than they are to you.
And the same thing, I have to talk to them. And after because this is Kesco, then they decided that, okay, now we'll give you the loan, but then the interest is about 14%.
Oh, dear.
It's quite high.
Yeah. So I took it because I wanted to fulfill. It was one of the dreams.
Your foot's getting a little further in the door.
And I was so humbled when Kesco contacted me that they needed my product. I was very humbled.
Wow, that's outstanding. And I'm sure very inspiring for all the other entrepreneurs out there looking for a big break like yours.
I think it's also with Kesco, they also have this, if you read their philosophy, they are all-inclusive company. So it's a good sign.
Well, if you're anything to judge by, it sounds like it, but I don't want to advertise for Kesco, so so let's move on. And I think it's time for us now. There's so much more that we can talk about on this subject, but we have to move on. And let's get the audience involved in the show. Before we take their comments, I have a quick question. Earlier this year, we at ULA News reported about this entrepreneurship visa that we mentioned. And the visa itself has certain financial requirements so that you either need to have or to prove that you have 12,000 euros in your bank account, or you need to prove that you'd earn 1,000 euros a month in the first year or two. Is that a realistic target for a company in its early stages?
So now you're talking about the startup visa. I don't remember exactly the rules, how it is with those residence permits, but I haven't heard actually critic about the money side. Mm-hmm. I have heard more critics about those rules that you need to provide contracts even before you have your business in Finland, or that you need to provide some official papers which you cannot even get before you are in Finland.
What kinds of contracts? So is it like contracts with customers or clients, something like that?
Customers or collaboration partners. Mm. So there is a requirement that you need to send when you're applying the residence permit, also those kind of contracts that, I'm going to do this kind of business here, and look, I have customers, so I have contract collaboration partners. But even in many business branches, it's not possible. Mm-hmm. You cannot make contracts before you are in the country and before you can really do something. Or another things what I have heard critic about is that if they're asking you for some amount of money, it should be on a Finnish account, which you might not even be able to open before you are in Finland.
Right.
So it's a lot of chicken and egg situations.
It sounds
it's
sometimes
kind of like
Kafka.
The residence permit where you have to have a job before you get a residence permit, but how do you get a job before
without
you're
the residence
living
permit.
There?
Yes.
It's kind of a catch-22. Is that the correct term?
That too.
We also put a call out on our Facebook page to ask our audience comments and questions about this topic. And Kim said that he's always wanted to start a business himself and said, I think I need a mentor to help me navigate the process. I was a confident business owner in the United States, but terrified to try something new and innovative over here. Why? ? Kaisu, can you respond to Kim?
Hi, Kim. I have a solution for you. I hope so. So if you are living in Helsinki, we have just started a mentoring program, especially for immigrants. And it's kind of, we call it light mentoring. So there are discussion events always with one topic, like how is to be an entrepreneur in Finland or the first year of entrepreneur. Or different kind of topics, and another entrepreneurs are then talking about those. Mm-hmm. And you are in a small group, and you can discuss then about your own.
Do you have a website or a Facebook page they can find?
You can find it on the webpage of NewCo.
How is that spelled?
It's I don't know NewCo? How to spell it.
Yeah. NewCo.
N-E-W, then C-O.
Oh, NewCo.
NewCo, well, that's easy.
Okay. I don't really know how to spell it in English.
We can put it in the show notes.
Well, you can join the club, yeah.
And I can comment there also on Facebook about that. But it's started last week, so it's a new thing. But the mentoring is one of those main things what we are aiming to.
I have a quick follow-up for you there. So it seems from Kem's question that he's not yet
he's
an
not
entrepreneur.
Yet.
So is he the right target for this NewCo program?
Exactly. It's for everyone. It's for people who have already company or who are starting it, or also to people who are first thinking about it. So it's for everyone.
Okay. Now, let's move on. Rich, on our Facebook page, complained that it's hard to find training. He said he found a company or he'd come across a company that ran entrepreneur training courses for his local employment office in English. But it was oversubscribed. There were 103 applicants for just 20 places. Is this a common problem?
It depends of the timing and it depends of the location. Mm-hmm. So in Helsinki we have quite much even in English, like info sessions or courses. It's never enough, but it's better than on the other places, for example. But there are another ways to find information and help in that situation, not only those courses. So these mentoring programs and info sessions, events where you can find people who can help you might help actually even better than a course where you take time and then it postpones your business start. Mm. Because usually when you take part to those courses, you don't have your company yet. So you are planning and planning and planning. And then when you would be starting, the
As
timing might
said,
be
yes.
too late.
Are these, when we talk about the NewCo, getting back to what you mentioned earlier, is that available in English or is it only in Finnish?
Both. Mm. Both languages. And I know that they have also in another languages some info sessions. But this mentoring program is English and in Finnish.
Okay.
Here's a question that we've already kind of touched on. Pradeep said in an earlier post on Facebook that if a new company declares expected income of 10,000 euros in the first year, it will immediately get hit with a big advance tax bill that must be paid even before the income is earned. That must be a major deterrent for people thinking about getting into business in the first place. How did you deal with that, Adam?
It depends on the company that you register.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether it's a limited company or it's...
I think that Pradeep is probably talking about the Toyin Mimi, which is the sole
trader.
So
if she can, I don't know how it's done now, whether you have to declare your income before.
Well, I think it depends on if you are, if you have set up this sole trader form of the business, and you, your income level is such that you will pay into the pension scheme. You then declare what your income level is, and this information is shared, I think, among all the government agencies. And so, I think the threshold for paying this pension. Requirement, which is required by law, is something like 12,000 euros.
Yeah.
And so once you declare that, then the tax people step in and say, well,
hello.
Hello there. we see that you're planning to earn this much, and here are your advanced taxes
but
for the year.
Real quick, I mean, that does seem like a deterrent that's in place almost by the state, that kind of says, well, you know, you must really, really, really want to get into business if you want to do it.
Like I mentioned before, for me, I was just doing everything right. You know, I was just working and paying the taxes because I didn't know how it worked.
Okay.
So I just paid anything that my bookkeeper sent to me. I just paid.
But does it feel at some point like you're just working to pay taxes and pay other kinds of contributions instead of working
and
to
enjoy.
Make a living or, you know, generate
so
some kind
maybe
of income?
At the moment, maybe I haven't been able to take anybody on, even though I train a lot of people who are aspiring to be entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you just work, you pay all your overheads and pay the taxes, and you're back to square one.
Mm. So you're always starting over.
Yeah.
This is so fascinating, but we have to move on again. So, folks, we'd like to thank our Facebook followers for pitching in with your thoughts and ideas and questions, but let's see what's happening next on the program.
If you have something on your mind, just send your audio message to our All Points North WhatsApp account. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909. Tell us what's on your mind, and your comment or question might be heard on our next show.
And now it's time for us to look back at some of the news stories we've covered this week. Afghan families with children applying for asylum will no longer be urged to seek refuge in Kabul. Finland's immigration agency Migri said that circumstances in Kabul have made it less likely that citizens will be able to relocate to the capital to escape persecution or other disruptions in their native provinces. However, healthy, able-bodied men and childless couples who are not considered vulnerable will be considered for repatriation to Kabul if their asylum applications are denied.
And still on the immigration theme, Iraqi asylum seekers in Finland will soon be able to get passports once Iraq opens a passport center here in Finland. Even individuals who do not currently possess a passport will be able to apply for one following identity and background checks. Finnish officials estimate that there are roughly 500 undocumented Iraqis in the country.
In politics, a local politician from the nationalist Finns party has been fined for inciting violence against the Finnish Red Cross, which runs many of the country's reception centers for asylum seekers. The South Savo District Court convicted Anu Turtiainen of public incitement. The court ordered him to pay 50-day fines over a Facebook post allegedly targeting the NGO.
And in the courts once again, a Southeast Finland district court has fined a clothing shop in downtown Kouvola for discriminating against a woman belonging to Finland's Roma minority last year. The store owner and a sales assistant were slapped with fines amounting to 390 and 140 euros respectively for refusing entry to the woman. She was also awarded damages amounting to 1,500 euros.
Tens of thousands of people in Finland can be classified as working poor, according to a Jyväskylä University researcher. Some 60,000 in Finland meet the definition of working poor, meaning that they earn around 1,800 euros a month. However, research suggests that up to 400,000 people work in the gig economy or on short-term contracts and use social benefits to make up the shortfall, excluding them from the category of working poor.
And a survey of most Finnish MPs found that 17 men and 12 women reported experiencing sexual harassment while at work. 60 men and 41 women also reported hearing sexist jokes in the halls and corridors of Parliament. The survey was commissioned by then-Speaker of Parliament Maria Lohela of the Blue Reform at the end of last year, but it found no systematic discrimination.
And in sports, former Finnish Formula One world champion Kimi Räikkönen has said he'll not continue with the Scuderia Ferrari racing team, where he's been a driver for the last 5 years. The Iceman will be replaced at Ferrari by Sauber driver Charles Leclerc. And in an apparent swap, Räikkönen will then move to Sauber for 2 years.
That's right, Mark. Thank you. And don't forget to check out our website for more news at wiley.fi/news. Well, this has been a very stimulating discussion, and I feel like we've only just scratched the surface, but we're just about out of time for today's show. Before we go, though, let's find out a bit about everyone's plans for the weekend. I'll be heading to the Kokoniemi Skate Park in Porvo tomorrow to check out the skating, scootering and graffiti scene there. I'm told that it's free, it's open to all ages, and it'll be drug and alcohol free, and that checks all the boxes for me. What's on your weekend agenda, Mark?
I didn't know you were into skateboarding, Denise.
I will be.
Okay. Well, tomorrow there's an international food market opening up at the Kumpi Square in Helsinki, where there'll be delicacies presented by people from around the world. And I'm looking forward to sampling fare from more than 120 sellers from 30-plus countries.
Wow.
And they're from the Americas, Asia, and Africa. And you know what? I'm told this year there's also an Australian section with kangaroo burgers and crocodile steaks.
Good eye, mate.
Good eye.
Sounds like a gastronomical adventure, Mark. Idem, is it all work and no play for you this weekend? I know you're a hardworking lady.
Yes, this weekend, tomorrow actually, there's...
paying taxes, maybe? No.
There's a program with the South African Embassy. It's called...
Anyway, the South African Embassy is having something special going on
yes.
tomorrow.
Everybody's welcome. I'll be there with my products. And there's going to be African food and stuff like that. So I'll be relaxing and working at the same time.
Okay. Do you know when and where it is?
It's in Akada campus. Mm-hmm. And it starts from 12 till 4. So...
All right.
Maybe, Mark, if you haven't, you can swing by there.
Yes, if you haven't tasted any African sausage, actually there'll be wine tasting as well. So you're welcome.
Well, I'll come over and I'll bring my crocodile steaks.
What about you, Kaisu? What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to some R&R after a productive week?
Actually, my plans for the weekend are so that I go to the countryside. But not to relax, but to prepare next week's Integration 2018 event. It's like a conference about integration, and there is one topic, immigrant entrepreneurship.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell there what we could change, what we could do in order to make it better.
And it sounds like we have to have you back in several months' time to find out what progress you've made and what discoveries you've made and how you're going to fix the entire problem for
us. Exactly.
Okay, sounds great. I hope you all have a great weekend. I'd like to thank our special guests, Edem Agbeke-Taylor and Kaisu Kesela-Kaseya, for joining us on All Points North this week. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And thanks also to our listeners. And don't forget, you can keep in touch on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram accounts. My co-host this week was the inimitable Mark B. Odom. Our producer this week was Zina Iovino. And our audio engineer was Katri Koivula. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to tune in again next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to All Points North, a podcast produced by Yle News, a unit of the Finnish Broadcasting Company. For daily news from Finland in English, head to yle.fi/news and follow us online at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Yle News.